The following podcast is a part of RadioMisfits.com.
Welcome to Misfits Making It. We are here at the second of two Misfit Melodrama episode with Bad Medicine Comedy. Now, listen, this is dropping on a Wednesday. On Saturday, September 30th, Misfits Variety Show and Bad Medicine are teaming up for the Misfit Variety Show. Bad Medicine are a very important guest, and you're going to want to see us together in Washington, D.C. at Pie Shop. More details you can see at ancestry.dotcomedy.com. All right. So listen, Misfit Melodrama episodes, this is how it works. You give us your crazy family stories and we riff. Mostly about how we are just as, if not more, fucked up. Actually, 99.9% of the time, we're just marveling about how that inspires all the crazy stories in us. Now, if you would like to submit for the Misfit Melodrama episode, all you gotta do is give us a call at 646-WANG-0X1. Leave a voicemail there. And we'll get it on. You can also go to LaurenLogi.com/podcast. And there's a form right on there to submit. Now, my co-host for these episodes is my character, Carmela Ravoli. Yes, I come up from Boca Raton to record the things with all the people. Because what can I say? People love me. Now, before we go into the podcast, a quick reminder how you can support us. First, rate and review. Misfits like knowing what other misfits think because they trust their opinion. So let other misfits know what you think about what we're doing here. You can also sign up at LaurenLogi.com to hear more about the podcast. Or you can sponsor a podcast. Yes, we're making it accessible for individuals to support us. So just go to LaurenLogi.com and send me a message there and we will make it happen. Before we get to the interview with Shoa Tavassily and Andy Weld from Bad Medicine Comedy, you should know, you'll hear more about it, but I'm telling you, they are the premier sketch troupe in Washington, D.C. If you don't get a chance to see them on September 30th, you're listening to this after, or you have something else to do, which I don't know why you would ever have want to do anything else but come see us. But if that's the case, you got to check them out. They're performing all the time in Washington, D.C. They're doing the good work. So go check them out. They're super fun. Now on to Misfit Melodrama with Bad Medicine Comedy, Shoa and Andy. Welcome to our Misfit Melodrama episode. I am here with Andy Weld and Shoa Appleman.
Hello.
They are from Bad Medicine Comedy. So tell us a little bit about yourself and all the fun things you do.
Oh, great. Well, I'm Shoa Appleman. Nice to meet you and have you or talk to you. I've been with Bad Medicine, which is a sketch comedy group in Washington, D.C. since 2014. And we do sketch comedy all around the country, even in Canada. And we do video and online productions as well. And I'm a writer, director, actor with the team.
Super fun.
Yeah, Shoa pretty much took all of my stuff.
Great, Shoa. Yeah.
Thanks. No, that's why I had to go first.
In high school once, we were going around saying what we'd done over spring break. And one of my friends said all the things I did on it, none of the things that he'd done. But no,
that's not what of course.
My name is Andy Weld. I also perform with Bad Medicine. I've been with Bad Medicine since 2016. I write, direct, perform. Yeah, we both teach comedy classes at the DC Improv.
Super fun. Super fun. Cool. All right. So let's get, I'm going to invite Carmela in to come here and help us do this segment where people write in and tell us their craziest family stories. We collect family stories at the Misfit Variety Show. And also people just send them in because people love to share their crazy shit. And we're, you know, for the record, we're not laughing at you. We're laughing with you because what happens is we end up having crazier stories. So don't worry about it. You're fine. We love. It's all love. Okay. All right. Carmela's here. Yes, she has me here. She has to say the nice stuff because I'm a little, I'm from Boca Raton, Florida, originally from Brooklyn. Okay. I have a little more of a harder edge, but you know, it's all love. Still all love. Shelby, you look horrified a little bit.
No, Carmela, I love, it's nice to meet you. You sound like you have money. So I'm just like,
I have money. I live in Boca Raton, Florida, in a little flat thing that could be a trailer if it had wheels.
Oh, you carry yourself well.
Do I carry myself well? Well, that's the first I've ever heard. Wow, that's amazing. Thank you. Show is going to hang out with me from now on. She gives me compliments. No one ever gives me compliments. Wow, that's amazing. All right. So here's a story. For entertainment, my brother and I would jump over our father who was passed out on the front lawn. You know, we had this another time. We're going to do, this is a set. We had Australia people we did this one with. So let's a reprise here. Okay. What do you think about this? For entertainment, my brother and I would jump over a father who was passed out on the front lawn. I know what the Australia people said about it. How about DC? What do you think?
I would imagine he's passed out drunk, but maybe he's trying to be like one of those horse gates and they want to be like practicing for dressage.
Maybe.
As a parent, this is a Bluey plot line to me. So this seems like a delightful new way to play actively with your child. The dad here sounds like he's a very involved, loving parent, and he's engaging the kids in this very fun exercise.
But he's passed out. It didn't say that. I think that's a key element here is that he is... something has caused him to no longer be with it. And whether that's a blow to the head, substance abuse, a nap because kids are trying to jump over him, we don't know. And all of that.
So what is the Bluey thing? This is, I don't know what this Bluey thing is, Showa.
Oh, it's Bluey is a hit television show with the kids.
Bluey
and
so, with a B. Oh,
and Bluey. It actually takes place in Australia.
Oh.
And the plot is it's a dog who's got two kids named Bluey. And he's a great dad and he does a lot of role play exercises and improv exercises with his children. And there is, I think, an episode where he plays dead and the children just jump over him. And as parents, we all took notes. We're like, that looks like a very good activity I could get points for.
Right. You could just have a nap on the floor.
Oh, yeah.
And then they could just jump over you.
They're at a hospital. The kids are helping. And physical activity, those kids are thriving. They're doing very well. They're not doing screen time. They're out there.
Yeah, they're not having screen time. That's the benefit. They're actually outside. You don't see kids outside anymore. So now you actually, listen, hey, however you get him outside.
However, yeah, that dad wins. He's just doing the best of all of us.
I will admit, I approached this much more cynically than you did, Shoa. I saw this as a bad thing, but it seems, and maybe this is because I'm not a parent and I'm not constantly trying to entertain children. In fact, I'm trying to avoid them.
I agree, at all costs.
Yeah, no, yeah. I wrote that down.
Yeah.
I was like, tomorrow's exercise.
I love, by the way, this is just a side note, we can take to that. There's three, this is a good thing because you can talk over each other like a regular conversation because the tracks are separate. So it's easy for the editor. So don't worry about it. Just talk away. Just talk away.
Oh, thank you. Actually, because visually I'm seeing it and was panicking a little bit. So thank you.
Oh, it's so fun because that's the thing. The good thing because they're on separate things. You can easily.
Oh,
right.
Very nice.
Yes. And that's actually a trend in the podcast now. Everyone's doing the more organic talking.
Now, would you describe yourself as a trendy podcaster?
Would I call myself a trendy podcaster? I would say I am. I just do what Lauren gives me and just benefit from it. And that's all. That's what I would say. I don't do trends. I just do life.
There you go. I like
the martinis, sit by the pool. Occasionally Disney when I think the least amount of children are going to be there. That's what usually I do.
It's sort of a drive from Boca, isn't it?
It's a drive, but now you know they're getting the train to Orlando.
Oh my goodness.
By the way, I just got to say, it's so funny to see what the DC people versus the Australia people with this question. It's so funny because you guys are deliberate with the question and considering from different angles. The Australians were like, yeah, my cousin was that drunk once. Like they just a little different. It's so funny. Everyone's, I should do this question around the world. I got to do it with different comedians.
Yeah, I would suspect the Brits would have a similar answer to the Australians about cousins being passed out drunk.
Cousin being passed, or they might be like, he did it and we never talked about it.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
The silent reserve of the, I come from old New England stock and we have a lot of that. a lot of that.
That's interesting. Well, you'll learn at the show because Lauren, well, Italian, right? Like she's Italian because we grew up Italian. But she found out she's from the sperm donor, a wasp or whatever those people are, your people are. So she's learning about her culture. So
boat shoes. That's a key to the wasp culture. Boat shoes.
See those rich fuckers in loafers and shorts.
But they look nice with seersucker.
Well, Lauren didn't know she was a wasp before her.
No, Italian. How do you think I came to be? Because I'm like her Italian aunts. The whole family's Italian. And then she found out she was a wasp. It's a whole thing. It's very traumatic.
Was that an ancestry.dna.com?
Yes, that's one. Hence ancestry.comedy.
Here we go.
That's the subtitle.
It's all coming together now. It's all coming together.
It's all coming together. It's all coming together. But maybe we'll interview you. I'm thinking now. Maybe you can give us the wasp. The wasp 411.
Be happy to pull back the curtain. On
the wasp culture. If you want to know, so she's done research. There's a thing called Born Rich. Have you seen it?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Ivanka Trump's friends was old money New York, Upper East Side. He wanted to become a filmmaker and had the money, of course, to do it. So he films all his friends around their 18th birthday. And then he made a documentary. I mean, it's a terrible documentary, but you get to see all these people, the inside.
I imagine they just feel very disconnected from reality.
They do. And then he has a conversation with his father. I want to have a career. And his father's like, why would you have a career? Just learn to paint or something.
Yeah. That sounds nice. Aspirational.
I know. It's like, that would be nice. He's like, oh, poor me. No one wants me to do anything. And it's like, I don't want to do anything.
Mm-mm, right.
And that is a luxury afforded to the rich to be able to say, I don't want to do it. I want to do something. I could do nothing, but I want to do something. It's what's that John Adams quote? I must study warfare so my son can study politics and my son's son can study like math and poetry. That's not the right quote, but that's the gist of it.
Wait, so are all wasps from old money? Is that a thing? Is that always the connection?
I think that's the broad thing because there are certainly Protestants that aren't from money in New England, but usually the people who weren't from money in New England, certainly in the Boston area, were the Irish and the Italians. So the more the definitive, the Protestants often had more money. They were the landowners, all that.
Right. So I have it. And I'm very weary of the wasp, but I just think because it's the generational oppression. I just sense it meeting them. Yes.
They'll sting you.
They sing the passive aggressive shit. Wow. That's hard.
They're cutting. It's quiet, but cutting the wasp aesthetic.
Did you see that A Flag Meets Death? Would they do a lesson on that?
A Flag Meets Death. Oh. It's phenomenal.
Show it. You got to see it. They talk about passive aggressive. They're like, oh, passive aggressive. And then the guy gets aggressive aggressive. And I'm like, that would have been me. Okay.
I would start aggressive aggressive.
I think, show it. You would start aggressive. You're so nice.
No, actually, in my mind, I would start aggressive aggressive. But out loud, it would just be apologies, effusive apologies.
Show is very concerned that she's offensive very often. And she never is. But she's very concerned about it.
More wasp energy.
Show it. You couldn't offend a fruit fly. You're so sweet.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Carmela. That is very kind. But I think I could say a couple scathing words to a fruit fly. And then you know what I'd do?
What would you do?
Murder. And then I would feel guilty for hours, hours upon hours.
Wow. But that sounds like Catholic guilt. It's a wasp thing too?
No, I come from a strong Persian guilt background. And I'm married into a Jewish family, so we have it. The guilt runs and seeps through the veins.
Persians do the guilt too.
Persians are, I think we invented it. We invented algebra. We invented.
What did you invent?
Yeah, absolutely. We invented algebra. We invented.
You didn't say it right the first time.
Oh, sorry. We invented the mathematics, and I think we invented
That's
guilt.
Such a wasp thing. They didn't say it right. Anyway, ignore him. Okay, go.
There's a way to pronounce words. That's all I'm saying. There's a way to pronounce words.
Oh, goodness. This is these wasps, I swear. Okay, Shoah. Go, continue. Continue.
Oh, no. So I think we invented guilt as well. Our people did it all.
You did?
The sciences, astronomy,
wow.
And guilt.
Wow. You know, it's a lot of cults. Very interesting that I talk about being Italian. You know, it's like there's lots of cultures with the guilt. It's very interesting how they people do it.
It's powerful. And I guess you have to decide, do you keep going with it? Did it serve you well? Or do you pass it down to the next generation?
And would you prefer to right pass now, guilt down to the next generation?
It serves you well if you, I don't know. Would you pass guilt down to your children?
I prefer to just cut back on their therapy bills, but
you want to cut back on therapy? So you, but guilt makes them do stuff for you.
Right.
That's fair. I'm not having children, so this is like not a, it's not something that I have to consider. Maybe I'll pass it on like secondhand to my siblings' kids, but not for me.
Is there value to guilt? Like walking around feeling guilty about things, I think it's probably healthy for society. I've never thought about it before. I thought this is as good a time as any to think about.
Oh boy, I've spent a lot of time in therapy talking about exactly this.
So what are the pits, Andy? Save us some therapy bills.
Yes, I'm not paying.
Well, sure. All right. As long as guilt is not affecting the choices you make, as long as your choices are not being informed by an overwhelming sense of guilt. And guilt is just like any other emotion. It's just informing it. The other big thing with guilt and any other emotion that has a negative connotation is to not judge that emotion. It's just to feel that emotion. And you feel guilty. Okay, I'm guilty. I'm sad. I'm frustrated. But I don't put a level of judgment on that. I don't judge that I'm guilty. I don't judge that I'm sad. Because then you just spiral in on yourself.
Okay, so let's circle back to the fly. So the fly comes... It lands on my computer desk because that's the light is on. And I look at it and I Google. Well, no, first I take an app with a picture with my app to see if the fly is poisonous or toxic. And then the fly might carry disease. So then I murder the fly and then I feel guilty because what if the fly was trying to talk to me and approach me and thought I was approachable, but now I've killed it.
It's got nothing good to say to you. It's got nothing good to say.
What does the fly have to say to you?
I don't know. Maybe it's trying to make that leap from like fly to human and it saw me as a potential vessel.
Jeff Goldblum tried that and it didn't work. It didn't work well.
It didn't. Right. That's a good thing. So maybe it's we shouldn't be communicating. So no, that's good. So Andy, you are saying my feeling guilty is fine as long as I don't spiral into despair over murdering the fly.
Correct.
Okay, great. All right. I think that's great.
Right.
Save me.
So they're just going to not spiral. Just kill the fucking fly and have a drink.
Exactly. Kill the fly. Kill your darlings. Kill the fly.
Okay. Yes.
Kill the fly is the hashtag for this episode.
Hashtag kill the fly.
I know. I even get indignant after a while. I'm like, well, how dare you come into my house? I didn't invite you in.
That's right. Fuck that fly.
Right. No, exactly.
Comes in with all the poop it sat on. It's distributing that around your house.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it tops on all the food that I've already washed.
An infant? You got to protect that infant.
Exactly. Yeah. So thank you. I'm glad. So now we've resolved my fly guilt.
Right. Because you're a mother, too. You would kill anything for the kid. Give me a break. Mothers, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, my gosh. I've never... I didn't know it was possible to get mad at like other 3-year-olds, but I have now in my head like a list of kids who have like wronged my child, and it is wild suppressing those emotions.
You know, some people are outside crazy show. I think you got a lot going on under there.
Sorry. I can confirm.
I can't.
It's like a duck, you know, looks calm on the surface, but underneath. Lots of motion.
Oh, yeah. No, I like to think I'm talking to kindred spirits. No, Carmela.
Oh, my God. I got vendettas for days. You want to know who I fucking hate?
Yes.
Well, I know so many people. I want to know about these 3-year-olds because kids can be assholes. I don't care what anyone says. Oh, they're so cute. They can be assholes.
They do it well and they're cute. No, I can't. I mustn't. Because I will be sharing.
Come on. Anonymize the 3-year-old. Come on. Give us one. Give us a taste.
A taste?
Notice how he enunciates that T at the end, too. Taste.
Oh, yes.
Sure. No? All right.
I can't do it. You have to suppress them as a healthy adult because these are the stories, right? Like you remember, you're like, and that mom went and like destroyed that 13-year-old's birthday by pretending to like catfish her just because of something that happened 12 years ago. So I will not be caught.
Please don't catfish any 13-year-old. Show up. Don't catfish anyone. Please don't catfish any 13-year-olds.
No. I think those women are crazy. But then I can now as a mom, I can see how that happened. I'm like, it took like one small slight, one little girl like hitting yours in the head, or one girl telling
you. That's what it was. It was violence. We know. You let it flip.
It just happened. Like little things happen. And you kind of store it away. You're like, oh yes, okay. And then the problem is all the kids today, they're not all named like Sarah or Jessica. They all have very unique names. So I can't throw out a name because there's only one like Eunice in the class.
Ah, that's right.
Oh, so her name is Eunice and she hit your child?
No, there's no Eunice. I had to rack my brain for a name. But all the other names, they're like, there's just one of every single child.
It's Show not was like turning red, anymore. By the way. I just want to tell everyone.
Oh, yeah. Bright red.
Show
Bright
it.
Bright red.
It's turning red. Okay. But these kids are assholes and you have a vendetta list. I got a vendetta list. You know, people, you know, you talk to people and I'm like, I kind of secretly hate you. I got that a lot with my family. You know,
oh yeah,
who pisses me off? Who did this?
Yes, no, I have WhatsApp notifications turned off so I can be like, oh, I'm sorry, uncle, I missed your message.
I have muted our, like, my mom's side of the family, 26 people have a group chat. It is absolutely muted. It's not muted for my partner. She'll say to me, hey, did you see this in the group chat? And I'll say, no. And I'm very
happy. Oh, your partner's on the family group chat. That's very good.
Oh, all the spouses get added.
By design or just like someone's doing it?
I don't know. For a while, I didn't have an iPhone, so I was blissfully unaware. And then I got bullied.
Wow. That sounds like you. It's like inviting siblings to the group chat. It's like, do you want to hate our family?
You know, it seems like it's just, if you're in it, you're either in it, you know, in for a penny, in for a pound. And she's committed at this point. She's been in the group chat for longer than I have at this point and seems happy with me. We can ignore that she's out on a date with another person right now, but she seems very happy with me.
I'm all the...
You're Paul. Is that right? So what are you, yeah. The polyamoro or whatever?
Oh, yeah. I'm the polyamoro specifically. That's me.
Okay. The amoro. So she's dating someone else right now.
He is, yes.
Wow,
having a great time, I think.
Okay.
Regular partner.
Okay, a regular partner with the poly. I have a husband I can't stand. I can't imagine inviting more people into my life. I can't freaking stand. Okay, that's exciting. Okay, have you told your family about this?
No. Well, sort of. So before we got married, my partner had said that she didn't want us to be pronounced man and wife because A, she hates the word wife, and B, it was important to her as a queer woman to not be put in this traditional yes. gender binary. And so I mentioned this to my mother. We were at a bar in D.C. I don't know where Sarah was, Sarah, my partner, but I was there with my mom and my dad. My dad went to the bathroom and I mentioned to my mom, oh, hey, by the way, when we get married, we're not going to do the man and wife thing. We're going to be pronounced partners. And my mom, in a way that was like both strikingly accurate and minorly bigoted, said, does that mean she dates women too? That was her first question. Question number one. I was so shocked by this that I said, yep. And then my dad came back from the bathroom and we never continued that conversation.
Andy, I was at your wedding and I didn't think twice about terminology. I just thought it was great terminology because in Farsi, the word for spouse is sarham, which translated means shared head.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. And so it like for when you guys said partner, I was like, yeah, that's a good word. And so that's funny that your mom was so progressive that she picked up on it.
Well, my aunt came up to me afterwards and said, I love how politically correct you guys are saying partner. Thank you.
I love that. I can't believe no one at a family party pissed off has been like, your fucking wife's a carpet muncher. She's fucking, you know, something. She's getting that pussy. You know, all. And no one says anything. It's unbelievable. You wasp.
No, it's the wasp. It's the restrained wasp thing. Everybody keeps it in and silently judges and leaves you out of the will. So I imagine that shoe will drop one day. But for the time being.
Okay. Well, you have to come back on and tell us about it.
I will.
You must update it on
my website. I'll come back on the show. Wow.
Well, thank you guys so much. Oh my God. I love how I think we got through one or maybe two questions.
One.
It's a Pandora's box here.
Just the one.
Just one question was how much melodrama. Who knew? Who knew? Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming. I'll bring Lauren on to say goodbye.
Great.
Oh,
thank you.
Great to
chat with you, Carmella.
All right. Well, thank you guys. Oh my God. So fun. Carmella's drinking a martini now. Oh wow. She's really pouring it in.
Is she a dirty martini gal? What kind of martini?
Oh yeah. She's a Three Olives extra dry.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She gets crazy. Well, tell us all about where we can come see you and find you. Well, we're definitely going to be together September 30th at the Misfit Variety Show. And then where else, when people are listening to this beyond the state, when can people find you?
Wonderful. On September 26th at the DC Improv in Washington, DC, you can catch us for the show Bad Medicine Presents Fever Dream. And it's at 7:30. Tickets are online at the DC Improv, and it's going to be a good show.
And broadly, you can find us out in the world on different social media things, badmedicinecomedy.com, Bad Medicine Comedy on pretty much any social media platform. You can find us there. Lots of video sketches, lots of updates. Every year for someone's birthday, one of our producers texts everyone, what movie does this person make you think of? And then he just puts up movie posters for that person's birthday on our social media pages.
Yay. Somebody chose Amelie for me, and I was like, you have to tell me, because this person is clearly in love with me.
That's such a Jeopardy
fan. And that was not what was going on at all.
No. And you turned red again.
Oh, no.
Well, so fun. Well, thanks for coming, and we'll see you. I'll meet you guys in person in D.C. I can't wait.
Can't wait, Lauren. Absolutely.
And I love your glasses, Lauren. Those are great.
Thank you. Blue light. Blue light.
Oh, smart.
I saw new ones, and I'm like, I should have gotten the blue light on them. They're fantastic. Smart.
I got these on Amazon.
$5. Oh, they look good.
There you go. All right. Well, thanks. See you guys soon.
Bye. See ya.
Thank you to everyone who has made this podcast possible. Thank you to Ani Markutsian for editing, Edward Silla at Radio Misfits Podcast Network, Maddie McLennan for making the podcast art. And of course, thank you to my fellow misfits that helped support us. So thank you, and we'll see you soon.
The proceeding was a presentation of the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. Find our other great shows on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and at RadioMisfits.com.